With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to episode 4 of The Story Studio with your hosts, Luke Condor and Daniel Wilcox and Ben Arrington. Oh yeah, here we go. Check it out now.
Hello, welcome to The Story Studio, a podcast where an independent publishing company explores the world of self-publishing, independent art, and the future of storytelling. It's a show for filmmakers, writers, comic book makers, crowdfunders, entrepreneurs, creators, and anyone else looking to tell stories in the modern world. Hello, my name is Luke Condor, and I'm joined by two people today. And I found that really hard to do, Dan, because I knew you were watching me.
Yeah, well, last week we kind of made reference to your faces when you read through that, and I was just trying to copy some of them this time.
So who am I joined by? Tell me, talk to me.
Daniel Wilcox and
Ben Arrington.
So Ben, this is your first show. You are like a regular host, but this is the first time on the show. How's it feel?
It feels good. It feels fantastic. It feels great. That's three positives there for you.
I reckon we should fill in the listeners, because I feel like the listeners, they know who me and Dan are by now.
Fill them in.
So Ben, how can we describe Ben in like 10 words or so?
I was going to do it for you, but by all means, you do it.
I'm a man.
Probably know you better.
He's a man.
I know me. I'm a man with a face, and you know, I've got 10 fingers, and sometimes I write some stuff with those fingers.
Is author, designer, father. Oh. Not my father.
Maybe.
Singer. Metalcore singer. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, in this context, I'm a Hawk and Cleaver author.
Yeah.
One of the Hawk and Cleaver team.
Yeah. Wicked.
Uses his 10 fingers to write 10 tales of the human condition, which we referenced last week.
Yeah, I did hear you talking about that actually, and it was lovely to hear. Thanks for your kind words about it.
What are we all drinking tonight, by the way?
I'm drinking some still water.
I've got my 50K.
Oh. We just... You doing yours on camera now?
Yeah, well, I mean, I went down it. I'll just drink it throughout the show.
Can I go get a beer?
Yeah, man.
Go get a beer. I'm not, I mean, just to, again, for the audience in, so we're celebrating a little bit at the fact that the Other Stories podcast, which we've been doing since the beginning of April, hit 50,000 downloads this week, which is kind of awesome for us because we like to celebrate with each milestone. And was it yesterday?
Yesterday, was
it? Yeah. Yeah, and yesterday it was the night before, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah, sorry, it was, yeah.
So the night before, doesn't matter. But
when 50K!
I did my double shot of Jack Daniels, instantly regretted it, nearly threw up. So I'm not going to be joining you guys tonight.
I've got a tiny beer, just a tiny little can of BrewDog Kingpin 21st Century Lager.
Nice. That's like hipster beer, right?
It's totally hipster.
Yeah.
Other beers are available. We're not advertising them at this particular moment.
Yeah.
But you know, if BrewDog, if you want to get in touch.
How's the writing going? I know you've both been kicking ass because Dan... shaming me with like his massive word counts, and Ben, you put up your short story today.
Yeah, I'm probably not hitting it as hard as you guys with the huge word counts at the moment, but I did manage to get a short story done for the other stories, the coming of age theme. I'm pretty happy with it, I think.
Yeah, good. Yeah, man.
Yeah, I'm halfway through it at the minute. I'm enjoying it.
It was a bit of a weird one, because obviously coming of age can be quite a broad spectrum, can it? You could go, you know, so many different directions with it.
Yeah, I think that's one of the cool things, because you can go from rituals to literally just aging to puberty to whatever.
Yeah, and it's not like we're constrained with the other themes, but I think when the other themes initially, you get two or three thoughts in your head, which can be incredibly cliche.
Yeah.
And you kind of want to veer away from that. But with coming of age, it was more of a, it's probably the most broad spectrum that we could have hoped for.
Yeah, because when we've done like zombies before and alien invasion, they're pretty much set in stone to a degree, whereas this is extremely broad.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think part of what actually displayed that quite well was when, with some of the other stories, when it came around to picking covers for the themes, the images, it was quite easy. I mean, with social media, is normally something technology. With zombies, it was, you know, blood and monsters. But we spent a while trying to work out what to use for the cover image for coming of age, because it's just not really one thing that if someone goes coming of age, and you just go, yeah, it's this.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I kind of thought Brad Pitt in Benjamin Button, just, you know, just this horrible, haggard, scrotum-like face. You know,
yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, maybe not.
Or maybe Voldemort in the final Harry Potter.
Yeah,
and he's just naked and on the floor.
Is that a Harry Potter film?
Yeah, naked. It's in the final one, isn't it? When
I've not seen it for a long time.
I was going to say I don't want to spoil it, but I'm pretty sure people know the Harry Potter thing. But yeah, at the end when they have their final face off and Harry thinks he's dead and it's all white and there's just this like tiny crippled goblin thing that's Voldemort.
I remember that bit now. I remember now. Yeah.
Is that the last one? Harry Potter and the Naked Voldemort, is that what it's called?
It's like a dried olive at the end, I think.
I've never seen a Harry Potter film, you know?
Wow.
Wow.
They're pretty good, I think. I think they're okay.
Yeah, they're average.
I don't know why I've never seen one. It's never really happened.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Bigger fish to fry.
So, just to get back on topic. So today we're going to be talking about getting words on the page, which can be extremely difficult. But before we do that, we need to do our big whoops for the week. So,
what a big whoop.
Ben, have you got one for us today?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you want to
I got a big whoop. It's quite big.
Are you stalling for time?
Am I just firing ahead with this one?
Yeah, go for it, man.
Okay, cool. My big whoop of the week. My first big whoop, my debut big whoop. I'm not stalling for time, honest. is the Telltale Games series Batman, which has come out, you know, I think it's been out for about a week now. So I've been playing it on PS4 and I've been enjoying it. Well, only the first episode's out so far. And it's probably about a 2 hour long sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you guys familiar with the Telltale Games?
Yeah, quite stuff? Well. I've played some of the Walking Dead stuff and the Fables one. Do you know what I mean? The werewolf one. It was really good.
Was the Game of Thrones one as well?
There was a Game of Thrones one. Yeah,
I played the first couple of episodes of that.
I've only ever played the Walking Dead one before. And it's, do you know what? It's not really my thing. I find myself like, usually with a game, I can find it really easy to get lost in. But with the Telltale stuff, I really find myself limiting the time I spend on it. Like I'll probably pick up for like a half an hour and then go away from it and come back. With other games, I can sort of sit there for hours and hours and hours.
How did you find the Batman one? Is it all right?
The Batman one's great. The Batman one's really good. I mean, it takes the sort of Batman lore in places maybe it hasn't been before. Well, it probably has been there before, but not in the mainstream sort of Batman stuff.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of Bruce Wayne stuff as well.
You're a Bat fan, though, aren't you? You're like a big fan of the Batman universe.
Yeah, I'd say I was a Bat fan. I'd say I know... a big fan of the universe, know enough about the characters to kind of hate Batman versus Superman and but yeah, I'd say it was like 60% Bruce Wayne in the first episode and like 40% Batman,
because you don't get a lot of Bruce Wayne, really. It is normally
that's why it was quite like a refreshing take. When I kind of heard that, because I did look at a few reviews before I picked it up, I really was unsure about being Bruce Wayne rather than Batman. You're like, I just want to be Batman. Come on. But there was a lot of the political stuff. with Bruce Wayne sort of backing Harvey Dent for mayor, and a lot of the stuff like dealing with the mob, but as Bruce Wayne rather than Batman.
Yeah,
which was quite interesting, I'd say.
How does the action work? Because like, you think of a Batman game, you think of like punching people in the face, but the Telltale games are more about talking, like, and investigating and stuff, right?
Yeah. Well, it's like there are fight scenes in this, but it's all quick time events. There's some cool sort of like detective work similar to the Arkham games. And there's also these bits where you can sort of like plan your attack before you go into like a heavily built up area or a heavily armed area.
Is it that system of press square for this action, triangle for this, circle for this?
A little bit, but it's quite linear. So it almost just like pushes you in a direction and kind of like, but it's still fun.
How much is it, by the way?
Well, I only you can pay for like a season pass, which I think is £25. But I only paid for the first episode because I wasn't sure if I was going to like it. So I've just paid £5 for episode one. Okay. So £5 for 2 hours of gaming stuff is pretty cool.
Yeah,
it's not bad at all.
No, I recommend it, guys. If you're a fan of Telltale stuff and fan of the Batman stuff, get involved.
Yeah, I'll have to give it a go. Because, yeah, I played a little bit of the Game of Thrones one and I found it was all right. But like you say, it's very linear. It pushes you in that direction. You don't have that kind of freedom to explore. So... I don't know, they're a bit hit and miss, but I'll have to give it a go.
Yeah, I've only ever played the Walking Dead one, but I found that had a lot of freedom to explore. But with this one, despite the fact it is quite linear, I did still enjoy it. It was still enjoyable. It was still good.
Yeah. I'll
give it a go, but I'll wait for Steam to do some sort of deal where they do the first episode for a quid or something.
Sure they will, man. I'm sure they will.
My big whip is, well, I had one. And I was going to change it, but I'm going to come back to the original. It's a book, and it's called The Girl with All the Gifts.
And yes.
I've not finished it yet, but it's just a good book. Like, it's been a long time since I've like just found myself drawn into a book so quickly. Like, within the first two chapters, I was like pretty much hooked, I think. And I think it's something to do with like the writing style. It's written by a guy called M.R. Carey, and he's a comic book writer. I think he's written some X-Men comics and some other bits and bobs, but it's a zombie story, you know, classic. There's zombies out there, but it sort of twists it on its head a little bit. And some of my favorite chapters in there so far are the chapters from the POV of the girl, the little girl in it. Have you finished it yet, Ben?
Yeah, I finished it. It's the last book I read. I finished it last week at some point. Yeah.
Is that the girl with all the gifts? Is that the girl that you're talking about?
Yeah, it's cool. It's I quite like the multiple POV shifts. They're pretty cool. I think the author gets into the heads quite well of the characters. So there's one scene where he was thinking it's Dr. Coldwell, which I can't remember who's playing her in the film.
I think in the film Dr. Caldwell might be Glenn Close. Well, I'm not 100% because I've only seen the trailer once.
I can imagine that. Creepy. Cold and creepiness, yeah. But like when he was there was a scene where he's talking about her and she was dissecting one of the still living things, and it was just so in detail the way he's doing it, and it was really good, really amazing. So I definitely recommend it.
And you were saying that it was a bit of a hindrance when you started on your work for tentatively titled They Remain as well, because you found that the writing was so powerful that...
Yeah, I read it, and it was one of those things that it half inspires you, and at the same time, half makes you think, oh my God, what am I doing? I can't compete. But I think that's whenever you're comparing your first draft, like your rough draft material, with someone's finished draft, it's going to be completely different. So I've kind of accepted that now, and I'm freeing myself up a bit. But yeah, it was a bit of mental anguish there that I had to get through.
We can revisit that a bit. That'd be a good one to come back to.
How far into it are you now, Lee?
Oh, into the book. So the Hungries have just stormed the base, and the Junkers, they call them, they're like herding them towards the base and using them as a battering ram, which is a cool idea in itself.
Cool. I feel like I might need to read this book.
Yeah, definitely read it, man. It's so good.
I've just finished The Rats, James Herbert, which was fantastic. Very, very easy read. And I started getting into the new Harry Potter book just to see what it's about. And
it's a play, right? It's not a full prose.
Yeah, yeah, it's marketed as a book, but it's not. But yeah, I'm about 10% into that, and I think I'm already close to giving up just because it's morbidly predictable.
So many people are going to think that's a book. When they see it on the shelf, it just looks...
Yeah.
Is it just like a screenplay?
No, it's not a screenplay. It's a stage play. And literally, I think on Amazon, it's got about 470 reviews, and about 100 of those are people going, I thought this was a book, and they're 1-2 stars.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, so...
That doesn't sound very predictable at all. It's quite surprising.
That bit, yeah.
Is that your big whoop, or is that...
No, my big whoop is going to be the one that I said I should have done last week, which was kind of relevant as well, because this week the... it's next week, isn't it? The episode that Carl's put his magic on.
The other stories. Monday, but Monday. He did last week's, the week before.
He did. So yeah, my big whoop is a friend of mine, Carl Hughes, who has started getting involved in the other stories. He's a bit of he's a bit of a sound magician, so I'm going to call him. And he's kind of just upped the game of some of the stories we've been putting onto the other stories, started adding sort of sound effects and really making the music come together really, really nicely, to the point where the stories just, they're beautiful. They are.
Yeah.
Last week's, I'm not sure how this is going to relate to people that are going to be listening to it on the feed, but he did The Lion's Cradle, which was one of my stories that I wrote. And added some wonderful roars and jungle effects and everything else. And I think he's going to be helping us out occasionally, just adding some stuff to the stories and just making them even better for the listeners. So
yeah, he needs a bit more time than we normally give for production. So I think he's going to try and do every other week, but hopefully we'll get some more. We'll give him, if we can pay him. I think he's going to do more, but we're not in that position yet. But yeah, he's a sonic wizard, and he is rubbing some magical sauce all over the podcast, which is really fun.
And for those who would like to be introduced to Carl's work, maybe if they're not down for stories, I highly recommend checking out, going onto YouTube and typing in Carl Hughes, that's K-A-R-L, and then Hughes, H-U-G-H-E-S. Carl Hughes Disney, and listening to some of his Disney remixes that he did of classic Disney tunes to some electronica music. They're wonderful.
Yeah, they're very good.
I'll have to send you the link in a bit, Ben.
Yeah, send me the link, man.
They've got thousands of views just because they're hilarious.
Yeah, it's over like 100,000 and like 150,000, I think, saw one of them. Mm. Very, very nice. So, how the hell do you put words on pages? Ben, go.
Oh, God.
So let's reword it. So let's say you're just about to start writing one of the other stories or a novel or whatever. Where do you start from when you come to sit down and write the words?
Where do I start from? Yeah. Do you know what? I do a little bit of research these days. There were a lot of times when I kind of just went headlong into it, which you guys have been describing as pantsing, haven't you?
Yeah.
Which does that mean write with no pants on?
I wish.
Right.
It should be. It should
be. I do that anyway, so.
Yeah.
You do that anyway, do you? So much freedom. There's so much freedom, man.
Are you wearing pants at the minute, Dan?
I'll leave that to the imagination.
Oh, Jesus.
Pantsless, then. Okay.
Pantslessness.
Yeah.
I do a little bit of research, and I do a little bit of sort of like just treatments where I kind of like write out essentially the whole plot, but in pretty simple terms, and usually only like 1,000 words or something. This is for non-other story sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Other story stuff, though, I've been doing quite a lot of research recently.
Yeah. The last one, the Snake Island one.
Foster's Rule.
Yeah.
Foster's Rule. Yep, that was my last episode of the other stories. I did quite a lot of research on that. I watched a documentary, which is about a place called Snake Island, sort of off the coast of Brazil, where it's just inhabited by snakes and no people are allowed there. And I thought that was quite cool. I was kind of looking for weird sort of angles for the animal attack thing.
I didn't believe you until you pointed that video in my direction. Then I was like, he's making this up. He's made it up very well. This place sounds wickedly horrible.
Yeah.
And then
it's a real place. There's like a sort of hour long documentary on YouTube that I found. Just all about it. Why I think it's the only place where these snakes called the Golden Lanceheads are, and they've got really sort of like really horrible venom.
So it melts flesh. Well,
it melts flesh.
Yeah,
it's true. Flesh melting. But good memory there, Luke.
Do you like give yourself a time limit or anything like that? Like, do you say
no?
Or do you just go for it?
I think in comparison to you guys, I am quite chilled out with it. Sort of like, you guys have got these daily workouts and stuff, haven't you? With me, I'll commit to that, but I could probably only commit to it for like 2 days before I just get distracted by something.
Sorry, that got me.
Something shiny. Are you all right?
Yeah, it's just very warm in this room.
Yeah, it's warm here as well. Go on, so Dan, so you sit down, like, so you've been doing some massive workouts. How many words have you written in the last week since we started these novels on Monday?
Okay, so yeah, we started Project Dan officially on Monday, and at the minute I'm sitting pretty on 12,500 words, which is a bit of a personal best for me, to be honest. Normally I'd gotten to the point a while back where, because I work full time and I'm a father as well, I don't get a lot of spare time to myself. So I kind of capped out at around 1,000 words a day. Mm. But I think whether it's because I'm now, you know, we're kind of not racing, but we're going alongside each other as we're writing, there's that extra push. But also the fact that the story is so planned and already formed in my head that it seems so much easier to write and to go ahead.
Yeah.
And I mean, one of the big things that I started this week is just getting up that extra hour early, going into town, so I'm sort of 5 minutes away from work, and sitting down for an hour before anything starts and just getting the words out.
Have you been late for work because of that? Because I do that, and sometimes I'm in the middle of something and I don't want to quite leave for work, so I get there a little bit late. Yeah. I think work can suffer rather than the writing.
Not yet. I think there was a point a couple of days ago where, you know, I kind of looked at the time and was like, oh, I've got work in 10 minutes. It went really quickly. But I've not gone late to work yet, so.
Yeah, so we planned these out pretty as detailed as I've ever had a novel planned out before. And I think one of the difficult things when you sit down to put words on a page is when you're not sure where to start from, or you're not quite sure where it's going to lead. So we've got these novels planned out in a minute, so I can sit down quite comfortably, start writing, and be fairly sure that I'm going in the right direction. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, that's it. It's kind of, we've got the roadmap, so it's just easy. Not easy. It's never going to be easy writing, but hitting those checkpoints is just a lot smoother than kind of trying to stagger your way there, I'm finding.
Mm.
But also the fact that, and I mean, this is obviously the whole point of this, the topic, the fact that it is a first draft. I know that there are a lot of things at the minute where, as I've written it, I'm thinking I could probably flesh it out a bit more. Maybe that doesn't quite add up, or it's a bit off from the beginning one, but I'm just kind of getting the words out and just rolling with it while I've got the momentum.
Yeah. Ben, do you subscribe to the vomit draft, like, rather than the first draft? So you, instead of like trying to get an initial draft that works, like, you're just trying to get any words or anything down on a page?
Yeah. I think so. I think it depends on the project, but a vomit draft could definitely work, especially if you're struggling with something. If you could just think of like an interaction between two characters, maybe just like a place that you kind of think you want to start the story at, or the sort of, or the part you're writing, then a vomit draft definitely really helps, because then you can like sift through all the vomit afterwards.
Yeah.
find out which chunky bits you want to keep, and find out what other stuff you want to sling out the window. But yeah.
How did when you did 10 Tales of a Human Condition, how did that start? What was the starting point for you there?
That's probably like, because it was kind of like my first big project, that kind of didn't really have much structure to how I was writing it. It was kind of like, I guess it was kind of like a vomit draft that went on and on and on and on and on. And then I did have to go back and kind of sift and trying to like direct things, trying to find these different plot points that I wanted to keep.
It was a fairly chunky vomit draft, wasn't it, initially? Like, it's 110,000 words or something.
Yeah. It was. I had to go through and really, I mean, out of those 110,000 words, I probably got rid of 30,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's a big chunk. So
there was just a lot.
That's amazing.
There was a lot of waffle, and because I kind of wrote it over the course of quite a few years, because it was my first big project before I really took the writing stuff seriously. And I didn't know really what I wanted to do with it. because it took place over a quick of a few years, I just kept adding to it and then sort of like keeping on the back burner for about 6 months, then going back and adding to it.
And I like the fact you just said before you started writing seriously, when there are probably hundreds of people out there that are thinking or they're taking writing seriously and haven't got a book out yet.
Yeah, maybe. But then I guess it was just, I guess it was at the time I didn't want it to be a writer. It was never on my radar when I was doing that. It was kind of like it was a passion project, you know. It was something that I never actually thought of the end goal of getting it published, because I didn't really know anyone else who was writing, and I didn't know if it was any good, you know. That was the thing.
Which I think is quite an important point to hit as well. The fact that it was passion made it that bit easier to get it out. There are a lot of people out there who do see the end goal or do see the money and the printed books and the published deals. And they find it all that harder because they are worried about it being perfect. They are worried about making it what they feel like it should be instead of just enjoying what they're writing.
Yeah. And I think that those initial stages, I was writing for myself. That was it. I was writing for myself. And when I was going back to it after leaving it for 6 months and reading it, it was, I had such fresh eyes on it. It was, you know, it was like, God, I didn't remember writing any of this. So yeah. It was probably the perfect sort of structure for me to write with.
I still go back to the, you know, the very last chapter, or is it the very last part? It's like, so after the main character arc is finished, there's like a denouement at the end, and it's just that bit still sticks in my mind. Like, it's a really, really solid end to the book. So congratulations, man. I thought that was perfect.
Thank you, man. Thank you very much. Good.
It still sticks with me today.
That was never ever an end. That was kind of like a bit that I'd written, and I was like, I don't really know where to put it. It never felt like an end. and in the end, I kind of just slammed it on the end there. And I remember I was going to get rid of it. It was going to be one of the 30,000 words I got rid of. And then when I read through sort of like my first draft.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And before it ever sort of got edited by myself, I liked it. And I thought, I'll keep it.
Yeah, it's perfect, man. Have you ever, what do you do when you come to sit down at a page and you're like staring at the cursor and you like don't know what to write and just nothing's coming out? That question's for either of you.
Do you want to take it, Ben? Oh, me? Okay. It's been a while. Personally, it's been a while since I've got to that point where I have been looking at a blank page. I mean, there are times when I'm looking at a blank page and it feels a bit more difficult, or it feels like it's a bit more effort to get the words out. But I mean, when I used to get that problem, it was a case of just remembering that the draft at that moment in time is just for you. And again, going back to not worrying about it being perfect first time. And I think in one of the first Story Studio episodes, we spoke a little bit about this, where we were saying about how you don't the more you write and the more you kind of just get on and write whatever on the page, the less precious you are about each individual word.
Yeah, definitely.
So if you've got, if you spend an hour and you've got 10 words on the page, you care about those 10 words. Whereas if you just let your fingers go and you just let the word vomit come out and you've got 2-3 pages done, they're not as precious. So you'll be able to happily go back and change it or make more sense or cut it. And I think for me, it was getting to the point where I realized that the words aren't permanent. I mean, it's nice to get a clean draft out first time and to feel like you don't have to do that much adjusting to, but at the end of the day, the reality is it's not going to come out perfect first time and there will have to be changes. So I think that's probably my biggest thing if I'm sat there and I'm just staring at a white page.
Yeah. I've got a couple of ways that I sometimes get around it. Sometimes I'll just say, right, I'm going to spend the next 10 minutes writing about what I want to write about. And then in that process of just free writing, I'll normally find the first line that will actually kick into, it'll just give me that like jump start into the actual words. Or I'll write down 10 ideas about what's going to happen in the chapter. And normally I'll only use one of them, but that's just enough to find that spark of inspiration to get into the zone.
With me, I either try and be a bit experimental. So try and think outside the box of what I want to write, and just think, try and write something experimental. Maybe, and sometimes I might jump off with some dialogue. So rather than putting all the bits in between the dialogue, you know, all the sort of emotional bits and descriptions and stuff, I'll literally just start writing out dialogue, start bashing out as much dialogue as I can. And I find sometimes, obviously, if the thing you're writing's got dialogue, yeah, that's good. but I find that can help me at least. Where I want to go with something, especially if I can have a couple of back and forths in the dialogue which sound really good, I could think, well, I know exactly where I'm going to go with this now. That could sometimes help.
Yeah,
for me anyway.
Do you Dan, do you know when you're writing a chapter, do you know exactly what's going to be in the chapter? Like, not in terms of the beats that I gave you or anything like that, but in more detail, do you sit down before you go to write and do you think this needs to happen and this needs to happen, this emotional turmoil needs to happen in that way, or that this drama needs to happen in a certain way, or do you sort of figure that out whilst you're in the flow of it?
I'm more figure it out while I'm in the flow. So I'll think of the beat, because so the package that you gave me, it'll have a chapter, a point of view from a person, and then kind of a line of what happens in this part. And I think I keep that in mind, or I think of the direction I want it to head, and then I just kind of, I try and loosely tie it in with the previous section, but it's normally a case of I will just almost close my eyes and get into the character's head and then just try and think what would happen organically, because it's well and good saying, I don't know, like this character has to go from this shop across the road to this shop. But if you're writing it and it doesn't feel like that's an organic move for your character, because at the end of the day, the characters are living inside you.
Yeah.
Then it's not going to feel natural on the page. So I find that I will be writing and sometimes they will take their own course, but it generally in the bigger picture still moves in the way that I kind of want it to.
Yeah.
I'm not precious about the tiny details.
I think there's a certain amount of acting going off when you're writing, especially in a POV. Like, I feel like you spend a bit of time getting into the character's mind and then you just sort of follow those for as long as the chapter takes. Maybe we should take an improv course or something.
That'd be interesting. That'd be cool. We can run some. Why not?
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
But yeah, it's kind of a cool feeling getting inside the character's head, because, and this is one of the reasons that I tend to, in most of the things I write, switch POVs and look from both sides, because I don't necessarily want, you know, a mirror story going off the entire way, like he said this and then the other person, oh my god, he said this. But it's nice to occasionally have a break. So in the opening of Lazarus, which I'm writing at the minute, it's from the perspective of a bomber, and I'd never go back into that guy's head again, but for that chapter, that section, it's really nice to pretend to be a bomber.
Did you find it a little bit too nice? Did you
really think, nice?
This feels so relaxing. Good.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I was at work. I was doing research on the work computer, and they blocked me. No, that didn't happen. But no, it's nice. Kind of sometimes, I mean, everyone inside them has that curiosity that I wonder if I was in this situation, how I would react, or if I could let loose. And I mean, most of us have written stories about the dark, murder and about
the dark side.
Yeah, yeah. And that's, I assume, because there's a genuine curiosity in this. It's not that we are horrible people. It's just that because it's the other side, it's quite fun to explore.
It's titillating.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Ben, you, 10 Tales as a Human Condition is pretty much about like a sociopathic, drunken... Yeah.
Oh. That was pretty much my preconception before I met you.
Well, you thought Ben thought it was an autobiography, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It was basically an autobiography. It's basically me it's just a confession. If anything,
you've been to New York.
Yeah,
the hardest. I've never been actually. I remember in the last episode, Luke, you said I've been a couple of times.
Have you not?
I'm going for the first time this year.
Oh yeah.
So are we going to get a redraft?
Yeah, I'm gonna. The geography stuff in that book was terrible to write because you know New York's a massive place. And just trying to like, especially when there's lapses in time and trying to like work out where things were happening, it felt like it was impossible. So I made it as vague as possible in the end.
I'm getting that at the minute because Lazarus is set in America's Virginia. Yeah, I've never been Virginia.
No. So you don't want to be too, detailed because I think not only are the people from Virginia not going to want it too detailed, really, are they? And how are you going to write it? So it's, no one's going to write to you and say, I was reading your book and you're in Virginia 1 minute and then you're here the next when actually the time that would have elapsed would have been this. Yeah. Write it again.
No mention of the corner shop whatsoever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's been there for 60 bloody years.
Yeah. The town ramp.
I know you guys were talking about doing stuff with like Google Maps last week, weren't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Which I've definitely done before. I've done a couple of like sort of just like walked around in Google Maps, sort of looking at areas. I did find a thing as well when I was writing a short story, like a YouTube sort of like tour of like a small town.
Oh yeah, that so works.
Just like a dash cam where someone was just driving around, sort of just talking about this place and that, which I found pretty cool because when you as much as looking on Wikipedia is good.
Yeah.
I mean, until you see it, you can't really get a feel for it, can you?
You can never really get a smell of the place there until you've been there.
No, exactly. but you can purchase air from places, can't you?
You can, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe do that.
Yeah. I think they sell like London Air, or they sell two Chinese people. They sell like just air in a jam jar type.
And it's like £100, isn't it?
Yeah. But
like, air from like the Mendip Hills or something is like £100.
Yeah.
What are you gonna do with it?
Smell it.
Jesus.
Smell it. Inhale it. It's gone. Rub it all over yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What time of the day do you guys find works best for writing? I have a very specific time of the day.
You should go first, Luke.
I like to write. Although I haven't been doing this recently, I need to get into the habit of it. But I love to write before anyone's awake, and like you just sat in your dressing gown with a coffee, just before the sun's even up. It's just perfect. I think I don't know what time. Well, in a minute, I'm only getting up at 6, so I need to start getting up at like 5-ish again to really experience that beauty.
Your face, Ben.
Yeah,
I'm going to take that as you're a night writer.
I do most of mine quite late, probably from like 11 till 1 is like my real like the golden hours for me. I've been trying to get up early recently though. But I find myself getting up and doing like a million other things before I think about writing, and then giving myself like 20 minutes to write. So usually later for me. I've been doing stuff at lunch in work as well at the moment, which I find helps. I only get 45 minutes for lunch, but still I find as soon as it's sort of like, if I've got my food ready, I'm sort of eating while I'm writing at the same time.
I struggle to write at lunchtime because I get so tired around that time. Like after I've had some food, I just get really like cozy.
After food, no.
Yeah, before food.
At the same time, usually.
At the same time.
Are you quite a regular writer, Ben? Is it a case of, you know, you pick a time each day and that's your time, or is it a bit more sporadic?
I think at the moment, in comparison to you guys are writing sort of bigger projects with like daily word counts and stuff. At the moment, apart from the other stories, I've got a couple of scripts sort of like ongoing. I haven't got like a big sort of writing project. Mm. So in terms of hitting certain words a day, It's not as important for me. Not that obviously it is important to still write regularly, but it's not like I would sit down and go, right, I've got to get 1,500 words done now. Might not be the case of, right, I want to get this many pages done, or maybe I want to get this scene sort of done.
Yeah.
Because mine's obviously the El Marvo comic, which back, I'm working on the script for, but I'm still finding myself going back and just starting again on certain bits.
And a film and, that you're working on now, right?
Yeah. And a short film.
Is that like definitely going into production? Like, is it Belinda?
I hope so.
Yeah, I think it will do. I mean, if Belinda and Chris are doing it.
I think Belinda and Chris are like YSP Media are pretty keen on the idea. I met up with them and we had a sort of brainstorming session for hours. I had an idea for it, and then we used that as a jumping off point, and we brainstormed all these ideas for ages and ages and ages. And I did manage to get, we had like pages and pages and pages of ideas, and I've got it down into a treatment now for the short film. So I've been writing some script pages. We'll see how it goes.
We should keep an eye on that and get it, like, talk about it more on the podcast, because it could be really cool to see that come to life and get around to festivals and all that.
That's it.
Yeah. It's not really something I've been involved with before either, so it's all new to me. But it's been pretty exciting so far. I really enjoyed the brainstorming session when we were brainstorming these characters and brainstorming where we wanted the story to go, and you know, and the big twists. When the big twists came to me, it was just like, it was magic.
Eureka!
It was legit magic. Paul Daniels.
Dan, in terms of places and routines and locations, where do you like to write?
Yeah, so I found that and I know it's one of the things that a lot of writers harp on about, it's something I didn't really pay that much attention to, is just building that habit and just sticking down and doing stuff.
Yeah.
And for me, the formation of my habit, because I've got quite a, my evenings can sometimes just go because of commitments. My mornings can sometimes go because of babysitting or other reasons. When I first wrote the first full draft of Clockwork Rose, my first thriller novel, which will come out soon, that was pretty much every lunchtime at work. I just committed to that 1 hour at lunchtime, said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to sit down. And luckily where I work, it's at a university, so they have loads of facilities everywhere. So I just found an empty computer lab and just sat down every lunchtime for, I think it was a month and a half, 2 months maybe. And just cracked out the book. And since then, it's now a case of, I think my optimum at the minute is that extra hour I give myself in the morning before work, because I love getting into work and knowing that I've hit that count.
Yeah.
That the target I've set myself, I can just go, right, I don't need to do any more. If I do in the day, that's just a bonus. And then at the minute, I'm finding that I do my morning in a cafe. I'll do an hour at lunchtime in the university library. And then I kind of try and keep my evenings free because I don't want to burn myself out, really.
Yeah. It's you get a bit of a spring in your step when you know you've done your word count before you go to work, because you feel like the day's work is already done. And if you don't get your word count done, you're kind of always thinking, like, I've still got like another 500 words to write for my daily word count. I'm still thinking, oh, I've still got that to do. So it's like always on the back of your mind. I think one thing that helps generally is that old saying of a body in motion tends to stay in motion. Once you've got that habit, if you just force yourself for those first week or so, at a certain time, certain location, certain amount of words, once you force that down and you've got that habit, you've got the ball rolling, it's just so much easier after that to... You'll sit down and your fingers will start typing before you're even worried about it. It will just start to come.
And to highlight that point a bit more, I know we were talking about some writing tools in a previous episode, and I spoke about Writometer, which is the app that I use to track my words. And that's got a handy little reminder function on it that says, you know, it's really annoying sometimes, because if my target's 1,000 words and in that day I've written 998, it will bug me at 9 p.m. and say, you have 2 words to write, which really pisses me off, because that's pretty much the target. But it's also got a tracker on there that tells you in the project.
What two words would you write?
Yeah, I know, just like, fuck you. but no.
What? Why would you say that to it?
In the actual background itself, depending on your project, it tells you how many days you've missed of your word count. Oh. And I find if I miss a day, before I know it, I'll go back on the app and it'll say 10 days missed. And like you say, that's because that momentum has been missing. It slows. Mm. Whereas now I'm on, I don't know, I think, what, 5 days in a row.
Yeah.
That's not a right start.
Jerry Seinfeld used to, a very good comedian. I quite like him. He used to have a big calendar and he used to say, I need to write a joke every single day.
Yeah.
And when he'd written a joke, he'd do like a big black X on the day, and then he'd do an X on the next day once he wrote his joke, and then once he's got a chain going, he said it was a game then to not break the chain. So it could be super late at night, and he'd be looking at his calendar thinking, I don't want to break the chain. I don't want to ruin like 31 days worth of chain. So maybe that helps. I don't know. It helps me.
Yeah, it's hard to get back to as well, because I think my record of writing per day, not like word count at all, but just getting down and doing something per day, I think was like 45 days in a row. And then I had a day where I was literally out and I physically couldn't get to anything.
You were dead. Write. You were out.
Yeah, I was medically dead for 24 hours. And when I came round again,
oh, no.
It was the most horrible feeling knowing that chain had been broken whole body had broken.
You woke
at least you're alive.
Yeah. You woke up like naked in a gutter and thought, shit, my word count.
Yeah, first thought, the minute I woke up.
You should have written it all over your body. Like
Memento.
Like Guy Pearce in Memento.
Yeah.
That would have been the right thing to do.
Yeah. Ooh, I've got a novel here on my
You let yourself down.
Yeah, just one word on my arm, disappointment.
Oh, yeah. Did you say you've got a novel on your abs? Or on your ass?
Both.
What if you haven't got abs?
It's a sequel.
What if you haven't got abs? Then what?
Oh,
where does the novel go?
What if it's in size one font?
Yeah.
You just can't read it.
Jesus. What are you writing it on? Size one
font. My micro typewriter.
Yeah.
We're going to say micro something else then.
Yeah. But yeah, in terms of chain breaking, that's absolutely right. It's the longer you've been going for, the harder it is, or the less you want to break it.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, we're coming on to like 40 minutes now or so. So if you've got anything to say, say it now.
my advice would literally just be, don't be scared to write crap. Get on and do your first draft and find that pocket per day that you can sit down, even if it is just 20 minutes, half an hour to start with. You don't have to start with anything significant, because if you're passionate about what you do, that time will become important to you and it can grow, which is how I started, just 20 minutes a day, and now I kind of can't really put it down.
Yeah, it's easier to do when you've got a bigger project to get into these sort of routines. I think if you're like, because Ben, you're like bitter and bobbing at the minute, right? So you're doing bit of this, bit of that. It's probably more difficult to build the momentum in the same way.
Yeah, I guess so. But I still find that I have enough momentum going anyway, just because of my drive to sort of do it every day. But when people say that they can't really find time for it or something, which is how I feel sometimes.
Yeah,
it's just a case, you know, get up an hour early in the morning, you know, then immediately you've got an hour there. Go to bed an hour later at night. There you've got another hour. Or if you do both, you've got 2 hours.
Yeah.
Do it at lunch and work. If you can't do it, then, you know, sometimes I'll write, if I'm on the go and I can't sit down at a laptop, I'll literally just write on my phone, write notes on my phone. And then,
interesting.
Yeah. I wrote all of Foster's Rule on my phone.
What, just like one thumb at a time or something? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, were you like pecking at the phone?
Yeah, I think I was pecking at the phone. I'm quite good at texting. I'm quite speedy, you know.
Oh yeah,
he's a speedy pecker.
I'm a very speedy pecker, and I wrote that. I wrote that in the back of a Vauxhall Zafira with loads of gear on top of me, because we were halfway through the tour, the band tour. So I had like cymbals on my head and stuff, and I was so sort of like fed up. I was just hanging. I was really really tired. I thought I'll try and write something. I just had my phone and I wrote all of Foster's Rule. But that was obviously with all the research I'd done, sort of like knocking about in my head. I did have to give that quite a lot of editing. It wasn't like I wrote it on my phone and then suddenly I was like, bang,
text that.
That's the one.
A lot
of editing went on with that one. Yeah.
That's some pretty cool behind the scenes material that you wrote.
That's some of the magic we miss. Yeah.
Yeah.
The magic.
But yeah, I think it's the thing. If you can't find time to actually, because that's what I find the time to actually sit down, open my laptop and be there typing. Mm. I find sometimes getting to that point quite difficult every single day. Obviously, yeah. I do it really regularly, which is why I do write a lot of stuff on my phone. Because like my notes are synced to my cloud as well. So it's not like if I just drop my phone down a toilet that it's all going to be gone.
Yeah.
So yeah, if I get ideas for sort of like books, or I get ideas for short stories and stuff, I will write quite a lot of it on my phone. Well, I'll probably do about 20-30% of my writing just on my phone, and then just copy that over and then get editing on that. So
that's I might try that. I've never done that before, so I might give that a go.
Yeah, because sometimes you're on the move and you're itching to write something. You've got something in your head, and I'm really forgetful, so most of the time I think, right, I'm going to write it down now so I don't forget it when I come down to actually opening my laptop and getting ready to type, and then suddenly I'm like, what was I thinking about earlier? Oh my God, it was gold. It was pure gold, and it's gone.
See, for me, I find that I dabble with bits on my phone, but it's never story-wise, because I sometimes go to local poetry nights and read bits of poetry, and if I'm out and about, I will put poetry primarily on my phone because it's a thing that I find quicker to tap into. Mm. Whereas with stories, I like to have that time, that bubble to sit down and focus on it.
It's a very different type of writing when you write it straight onto your phone, because obviously there's no time to sort of go back and check words or think, oh, I'm going to use a different word for that, or that's a bit basic. It is quite basic, really, when you are writing on your phone.
Well, that's good, though. It's just
very bare bones of something. And sometimes that can work for you, especially if you are having trouble. With something, getting it there in its most basic form is better than nothing.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, it's really interesting. I will give that a go next week, I think, because it's just like a good way to get over that critical voice and just sort of get that draft, the vomit draft down.
Yeah, especially if you're just on public transport or something and you're just stuck in a traffic jam or whatever, not where you're driving, obviously. Come on now. Just getting it down like that is a real sort of like, I haven't been doing that for too long, actually. I've probably only been doing that for a few months, but it's something different.
Cool, man. Okay. It's been very nice to have all three of us here.
It's been lovely.
Yeah. I need to say that last week I said that this week would be the Frizz on Comics interview. That's next week now. Because I messed it up. But we're recording on Monday.
Very exciting to those, yeah.
Yeah, it'd be really cool. So
are we thinking about doing a possible Suicide Squad /DC Comics Universe, movie universe talk at some point?
Yeah, I think so. We should do what we would do to not fix it, because I don't know what your opinions might be different there. I'm not too sure. That's sure. But what would we do to help DC?
That'll be good. I've got ideas.
Cool. I've got ideas.
Okay, cool. I'll just say to listen.
Start
to
again.
That would be a pretty good idea. I think the X-Men should start again for sure.
They started again too many times.
I mean, we're like,
kinda did start again.
I think they need to. We'll get into this another show. But listeners, go give us a 5-star review and share the show. That's what I'll ask today. Follow me on Twitter at Luke of Condor, and you guys are.
I am at Ben_Errington.
I'm at Wilcox Author.
Cool. Okay. Anyone else want to say anything before we're done, or are you all good?
Subscribe at www.hawkandcleaver.com to keep up to date with all of our latest news, information, and wonderful releases. See, that wasn't even practice. That was off the cuff.
That was practice. Good. That was practice, definitely.
I'm ready for it.
Yeah.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Story Studio podcast. Still hungering for some podcast goodness? Then why not check out our other show, The Other Stories? Oh, and did you know, every time you leave us a review in the iTunes store, a puppy is born. Cute, eh? Anyway, toodle pip.
Hey,
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.